WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The Supreme Court has temporarily blocked new deportations under an 18th century wartime law. This after an emergency appeal over worries that Venezuelans being held in a Texas detention center were about to be deported. CBS's Michael Toscano with more.
The court order concerns Trump administration plans to use the 1798 Alien Enemies Act, used rarely and only in wartime until now, to deport about 30 Venezuelan men being held in Texas. The court says not to do that, quote, until further order of this court. The ACLU said in an emergency filing last night that the Venezuelans had been told they were about to be removed. The Supreme Court had previously ruled that could not happen unless they had a chance to legally challenge it. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
Now to Russia, where President Putin has announced a temporary Easter ceasefire in its war on Ukraine. But Ukraine says Russia fired exploding drones in overnight attacks, sparking fires and damaging farms. A third round of talks with the U.S. over Iran's advancing nuclear program is set now after possible movement in a meeting in Rome. The BBC's Joe Inwood.
Donald Trump's special envoy Steve Witkoff and the Iranian foreign minister Abbas Araghchi are leading the delegations as they seek a solution to a problem some say is of Mr. Trump's making. He was the one who collapsed the previous nuclear deal in 2018. Since then, Iran has enriched uranium to far higher levels and is said to be within touching distance of the levels required for a nuclear weapon.
In Florida, a vigil after that deadly mass shooting at Florida State University that killed two people. CBS's Katie Weiss.
It's horrifying.
Former classmate Lucas Osietti says Heitner sometimes used to make offensive comments.
The fact that this actually happened, but this happens all the time, and school is somewhere you should go to learn. You shouldn't be worried about getting shot.
Investigators have not determined a motive.
Oklahoma City is marking 30 years since a truck bomb at the federal building killed 168 people.
For National Memorial and Museum visitor Jessie Adler, the bombing has been seared into her memory since she was 13.
The Oklahoma City bombing was my first "where were you, what do you remember" event. They always talk about it. Everybody has one, whether it was Elvis or the Challenger disaster or what have you. For me, it was Oklahoma City.
Surrounded by the empty chairs of its victims, the state's capital is today recognizing the strength and resilience that emerged in the wake of a tragedy. Brad Gibson for CBS News, Oklahoma City.
Former President Clinton returned to remember those who were killed and comfort those who were affected. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A new study shows extreme weather disproportionately affects small farms, and Wisconsin has thousands. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Researchers at the University of Illinois studied milk production records from 9 Midwest dairy farms. Considering both temperature and humidity when measuring extreme heat, they found farms lose about 1% of milk yield annually because of heat stress, while smaller farms lose closer to 2%. Study co-author Marin Skidmore says when cows are in extreme heat, it can cause increased restlessness and risk of infection and decreased appetite, which reduces milk yield and impacts bottom lines.
To some extent, it's only 1.6%, but if you're really making every dollar from your paycheck count because you're living in a time with high costs, then 1.6% of your paycheck being gone in a given year is meaningful.
The study predicts extreme heat days to be more frequent in years to come and milk yield losses to increase about 30% in the next 25 years. The Midwest tends to have smaller dairy farms compared with other states, with herds ranging from 100 to 200 cows. Researchers say being able to track and compare daily milk yields across a large region with similar climates has never been done before. Skidmore says their findings suggest that larger herds seem to have some level of protection to extreme heat compared with smaller farms, which start to see impacts of heat stress at lower thresholds. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, mostly cloudy, highs in the low 50s. Tonight, a low around 40 under mostly cloudy skies. Some showers on Sunday with a high near 48. Showers and rumbles of thunder Sunday night, a low near 43. Showers and thunderstorms are likely on your Monday, 56. It's 48 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival Program Director Kirsten Larson and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman, the hostess with the mostest, the side pilot, the one who rides shotgun, is under the weather today. But that's all right. Chefferie, certified French culinarian, and official chef of the show, Raised in Wisco, Ellie Mae Lawton, is filling in for Danielle. Ellie Mae, great to have you here. What's
hey,
going
Joel.
On?
Oh, I'm just so happy to be here.
I detected a bit of sarcasm.
I have spent several days studying dad jokes, so I'm really hoping to bust them out tonight.
Ooh, well, we love dad jokes on the show, that is for sure. And I'm pretty excited because I've got an entire family here. I've got the Cumbier family, and this is the absolute perfect guest to have for turkey season. It is turkey hunting season, spring yes. turkey season. It is that time when people say to themselves, I just cannot handle not getting in the woods and hunting something. And just when that happens, just when you're at your wit's end, just when husbands and wives have had enough of each other, just when children are driving their parents crazy, you can get out into the changing seasons of Wisconsin and enjoy turkey.
You can get into the blind hunting. And not listen to any of them.
That's true, unless you take them along, which is what I end up doing anyway. But then that's the okay. beauty of it is that's okay because you can't really get in arguments in the blind.
And when you tell someone to shut up in the blind, they typically never get mad at you. Because I've told you to shut up in the blind a few times.
Yes. Danielle's told me to shut up in a blind.
You also told me
Jess
to, shut up,
told
in the
me
blind.
To shut up in a blind. Darren has told me to shut up in a blind. Jason's told me to shut up in a blind. I talk a lot. That's probably part of the problem. The Cumbier family is with us tonight. And I'm really excited about this because we have a first-time hunter. You know, if you listen to the show, if you're a fan of Raised in Wisco, you know how much I care about getting new people into the waters and woods of Wisconsin. That is like one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I was excited about doing this show and doing this kind of show. Justin Cumbier is here. He's here with his wife, Tabitha Tiffany. We're not sure which one. It's Tabitha, right? Yes, I'm sure it's Tabitha. And they're I'm mixing up Tabitha and
name
Tiffany.
Tags?
That's like they each have three syllables. What do you expect?
Oh, come on.
I just realized Justin's got camo dudes on.
I know. Hey, I saw them. They're pretty cool.
It doesn't really get more comfortable. And
he's got
a camo. Bro, you are stealing my thunder. Camouflage is my favorite color.
Okay. Well, I just want to point out that all of us have camo on tonight or today, except you.
Is my hat has camo?
Doesn't count.
What? How does it not count?
Can hardly see it.
My hat has camo. Okay, you
I'm
just said
say
everybody has
camo.
Everyone has camo on
except you.
Me. I have camo on.
I think just your pink shirt.
Okay, go on Facebook and watch the show. I have. That's red. That's not pink. Oh my gosh, boy! I'm really glad Danielle's not here. I want to talk to mom and dad first about this. First of all, I want to do our weekly Wisco.
I think we should correct you. This is not our daughter.
Oh, it's not.
This is not our daughter.
I would love
Harper as a daughter, but this is not our child.
Well, then let's just consider it your hunting adoptive daughter.
Your hunting daughter.
That's better. Yeah. There you go.
Well, that, and you know what? That makes this story even more special, because one of the things that I've done through the years, I've literally taken probably more than 100 people for their first hunt. And obviously they weren't all my children.
I was gonna
come on, at least that's funny.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, don't be afraid to laugh at my dad jokes. But one of the important things is finding people who want to try to get into the outdoors and mm-hmm. taking them. And that certainly is not limited to family. In fact, what I want to talk about with that is that a lot of people don't have that opportunity. They mm-hmm. don't have family that's into hunting, and they need somebody else. If it weren't for someone else, I never would have gotten into hunting. I started when I was 38 years old. So
that was like 40 years ago.
Oh my God. Wow. No, not 40 years ago.
Oh, whoops. I'm not great at math.
That was like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. That was later in life. But the point of it is that when you have the opportunity and someone takes you, that you're introducing somebody to something they may never have had a chance to do. And so first off, we're going to get to Weekly Wisco. I feel like we got to do Weekly Wiscos.
Yeah.
Weekly Wisco is where we describe something we did in the outdoors of Wisconsin that was fantastic within the past week. Now, I know mine, it has to be. My turkey tag is coming up in a week. It's coming up next week. You know, you guys are listening to the show Saturday, and this is the second week of turkey season already. Mm-hmm. And my tag comes up on Wednesday, and I'm really excited about it. So I'm spending every scintilla of time I have extra driving around, knocking on doors, watching for turkeys in the morning and the night. And the crazy part about that is, the tough part about it is, that as the weeks go on, other folks start hunting the fields that you're watching. So those turkeys disappear, or they go into hiding. So it makes it a lot tougher. So that's my Weekly Wisco. What do you got, Ellie?
Well, you know, I'm always horses, hunting, or hiking.
That is true.
This past weekend, I had the pleasure of spending the weekend at the Midwest Horse Fair in Madison.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was beautiful weather. It was outside, a ton of great people, fantastic horses, very talented riders. So it was a great event.
What is that for everybody? Is it a closed event?
It's open to the public. It's fantastic. You don't need to know anything about horses. You can go and look at some beautiful horses, do some fantastic shopping. They have great food. So I, of course, ate a lot of food in between visiting and looking at horses.
Oh, well, that's very good. And yeah. That sounds like it was a great way to
spend a couple days in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm not a super horse guy, but I guess if it's for anybody, you could show up there and it'd probably be fun.
Sometimes your voice is hoarse.
That is very often my voice is hoarse.
From talking so much in the blind.
Hey, Justin, our guest Justin Cumbier, it's okay to laugh at her jokes, even if she's making fun of me, Justin. It's okay. Don't worry about
that.
And
even if they're not good, you can still laugh.
That's right. Jacob, what about you? How have you been, man? What have you been up to? And do you have any chances to get out into the outdoors of Wisconsin this past week? Oh, by the way, want to just give a reintroduction to our new producer, Jacob, who's doing a stellar job so far. We got Noah Morris in the house helping us out with production as well. And Jacob's back in the fishbowl. And that's why we sound so good when you hear us Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock on your civic media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Jacob, did you get outside?
Jill, I've barely left this room this week.
Whoa.
You know,
I'm busy.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Well, okay.
Did you at least take your nature walk around the studio and see your squirrel?
I didn't see a squirrel. I did take my nature walk into the slight amount of grass outside here. And Jill, by the way, I just want to thank you. Last week, we all saw that I didn't know that much about the outdoors. And I appreciate here on my second show ever, you know, you've decided to say, hey, here's a 13-year-old girl who knows a lot more than you do, Jacob. So thank you very much. I feel great. I appreciate that.
Well, as our previous producer, the amazing Jess, the producer, did not have a strong interest or knowledge of hunting. She ended up a hunter with us. So we hope, Jacob, that we will win you over and eventually be able to do some things in the outdoors with you. So please take that as an ongoing and constant invitation, Jacob, to definitely learn from what we talk about on the show, and please be a part of it. We'd love to get into the outdoors with you at some point. All right.
Don't worry, Jacob. I'll eventually tell you to shut up in the blind too.
I'm sure she will. And the reason she says it so much is because she talks so much, but sorry, I can't help. Justin Cumbier is here with his wife, Tabitha, and they brought a very special person along with them because I think it's an incredible milestone and a very important thing when you take somebody out into the woods the first time. So Tabitha, and tell me how you guys got to know Harper and how you came from, and by the way, Harper is a 13-year-old young lady, and she's in camo too, and she went turkey hunting, and we're going to let you know how that turkey hunt went. I can't wait to hear about it. But how did you guys even get to know her?
Harper is one of a family friend. My husband works with her father, and they are a hunting family. Awesome. However, they've never been turkey hunting. So
wow.
Perfect opportunity. She is not the only one of her siblings that went out this year. However, she is the person that Justin took out this year for our youth hunt.
Oh, that's fantastic. Justin, talk to me about how you're involved with the youth hunt.
Oh, man. Where does it begin? I think it was probably 10 years ago. I think 10 or 11 years ago, Tom's Guns in Marshall, Wisconsin, there did the learn hunt.
Boy. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
Yep. I knew where this was going.
How did you know that? How did you know the secret, Tabitha?
I watch social media.
You know the Tom's Guns?
You know the Tom's Guns story with me?
I've heard it.
How have you heard it? Oh, my gosh. Now I feel like I'm in a room with people.
Well, maybe not all the details. I feel like there's like more that's supposed to be coming of this.
Oh, we'll get to that. So,
wow. Right. We just derailed.
Yeah, so my wife and I, she used to be heavily involved in the NWTF.
National Wild Turkey Federation.
Yep. Which my daughters are always funny. No, the reason I like that people to say that is because my daughters are always like, Dad, what's with the NWTF? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they say, you know, it's like the NWTF, bro. And I'm like, no, that is not what it means. It's the National Wild Turkey Federation. So involved in the NWTF. Okay.
Yep. So when we went to our first banquet, my first NWTF banquet, I enjoyed it. And 2 years later, I mean, this is our 10th year doing it. We're actually, I'm president of Jefferson County NWTF chapter. So
awesome. Awesome.
Obviously with Tom's and doing the mentorship hunt, I'm all about the youth getting new people out in the outdoors away from the video games. And obviously last year was their last year and I didn't want to see that just go away. So we partnered up with Marshall Lions Club and started our own youth/learn-to-hunt turkey hunt program.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I am so excited to talk to Harper about this. I am so excited to talk to you about Tom's Guns and Tom Burkholz in particular. I think this is going to be fantastic. I did not know that you specifically did the Tom's Guns hunt. How many years had you done that?
I'd say it was probably 9 or 10.
Oh, boy.
Wow. I was mentoring.
And that just goes to show the legacy of Tom Burkholz and how Julie Burkholz, his wife, continue to keep his legacy alive. I am so excited about that. I can't tell you. We're going to talk to Harper about her hunt. We're going to talk to the Cumbiers when we come back. And I'm going to talk about Tom from Tom's Guns and what he means to me. This is Raised in Wisco.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. You can listen to us on all Civic Media stations throughout the state, 21 Civic Media stations, Saturdays at 11 o'clock. And of course, you can listen to us if you miss the show live on Saturdays. You can go listen to the podcast of the show on civicmedia.com.
Do you need me to say when? It's actually .us.
.us. Ellie, Danielle's not here, so this falls to you.
I got you.
Where else can they listen to the show?
Civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. You can also check us out on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube.
Huh.
Or the MeTube. Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
I get that on my flip phone. I have MeTube on my flip phone.
You probably do have a flip phone.
What's folks, wrong with that?
Hearty good thoughts to Danielle Fairman, who's under the weather today. Ellie Mae Lawton is with us, our chefferie, our official French culinarian, the official chef of Raised in Wisco, is filling in for Danielle as our co-host this week. It's great to have you. I appreciate you making the time to do this. And of course, don't worry, we will get to a recipe at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm running the show today. We're getting to the recipe.
Okay, hey, don't listen. The ratings go up every time we talk about food. And after all, what is Raised in Wisco at the end of the day?
A cooking show.
It's a cooking show, because I don't care if you love the outdoors, you love the indoors. There's one thing that ties Democrats to Republicans, liberals to conservatives, and everyone else in between, and that is we all got to eat. And there's nothing better than taking the wonderful things from the great state of Wisconsin and the outdoors, like venison, like forage mushrooms, you name
ooh,
it.
Dandelion
salad. Dandelion salad.
Yeah.
My mom used to make that growing up.
Dandelion
that was
jam or jelly.
Yes. Some people even make dandelion wine.
Yeah.
So there is, and we are coming into the season where there are so many things to harvest mm-hmm. in the outdoors. Oh, is the recipe going to be turkey-ish?
Related? It is going to be turkey.
Oh, I'm very happy about that. And what makes me extremely happy about that is because we've got a young lady here who hunted her first turkey on the youth hunt, and Justin Cumbier took her out, and his wife Tabitha is along, and they met this young lady, Harper. And tell me how you guys ended up meeting Harper and how Harper ended up wanting to hunt. Now, her family are hunters, and how did you end up with this guy taking you if your family were hunters, Harper? How did that work out?
Well, my dad doesn't really like go turkey hunting because we never really went, and he asked me if he wanted to be my mentor for turkey hunting, and I said yeah.
Well, heck yeah. I mean, the guy's awesome. Got a pretty good record, I would say, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Now, what made it I'm really curious, this is real fun, because you're 13 years old. Tell me why you want, have you hunted anything before?
I mean, I've gone hunting, like deer hunting, but like I never really shot at anything yet, so.
You never killed anything before this.
So the turkey was your first harvest.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So what made you think to yourself, hey, my family hunts, but they don't really turkey hunt, but I want a turkey hunt. What was going through your mind that made you think that?
Well, it's kind of just like a new experience to like go from, to like from like deer hunting to turkey hunting and like more of that. And since it's like not really deer season yet, why not go turkey hunting and try something new?
Absolutely.
Whoa, this kid's got it together.
Yeah, she does.
That's making awesome.
Me look goodness.
Bad. Yeah.
She's making all of us look bad.
I'm just going to give the show over to the ladies who are here, Justin. You and I are just going to sit and watch. So I think what you just said in there really strikes a chord with me, and I'll tell you why. So many kids, what are you, in eighth grade?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in eighth grade. What are you, what are your friends most of the time doing that probably adds up to 5 hours a day or more?
They're usually just sitting inside, either like just playing on their phones or like playing video games.
Playing on their phones and playing video games. Tell me what it's like when you had, I'm so impressed with you and so impressed that you thought, I want to get outside and do something. And I don't want to be sitting on my phone or playing video games. I want to experience the outdoors, right? And how did your friends receive this?
Well, they don't really go outside much, but like just going outside more is just like better than just like sitting on your phone, because it's honestly more boring than just sitting inside.
Yeah, I know. Sitting inside does get boring. And I think people get these false realities, you know, that exists on their phone. Nothing compares to being in the three dimensions of the outdoors, the smells, mm-hmm. the sights, the sounds, and then being able to take something home at the end of that and have it go to your dinner table. And that's really an unbelievably fantastic, basic, you know, human desire, I think. And I think it's the satisfaction of eating something that you harvested in the wild is just, it's unparalleled. I think it really is. Justin Kambir, you took her on her first turkey hunt. What made you think, you know, is a friend from work's daughter? What made you think, oh, you know what, I'd love to be the person to give, you know, give this opportunity?
I don't know. She just showed interest in it, and I picked up on it, and I wanted to at least give her the opportunity to do it. And every kid deserves a chance. So
yeah,
it was pretty easy.
What did you think about this, Tabitha? How much does Justin put into making sure new kids get out there? Because there's scouting. Look, scouting is not, I think that my wife thinks I'm just absolutely crazy because I put in so much windshield time. How much does he put into making sure these kids have an opportunity?
I'll say for the next, well, starting before the youth hunt until the end of sixth season, I'm a single mom.
So you'll be getting some jewelry afterwards or something? Nice dinner, vacation.
He puts tons of time into making sure that whoever he is mentoring, whether it be a first-time hunter, a buddy that he's gone with for 10 years, he does as much as he can to make sure that that person harvests a bird, because he wants to see the excitement on that person's mm-hmm. face.
There
that
is
sounds
nothing
familiar.
Like
that sounds
yeah.
like Joel Clayfish.
Joel Jr. over here, right? Familiar.
Yeah, that yeah, does, yeah. We got Joel and Joel Jr. over here.
That does sound familiar. tell me, okay, now I want to hear about the hunt. Tell me about the hunt, where it was, what kind of decoy you set up you had, and how it unfolded.
Well, I've been scouting birds since, I don't know, beginning of March, and I thought I had everything figured out for Harper, and I was very, very confident. I told her, it's going to be a nice, easy hunt. It's a long walk, but we're going to be right in on them tight. We're going to get done early. And we got in early. Birds started gobbling. I looked out the blind window up in the tree. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're where we need them to be. Well, then started getting lighter out. The first Tom pitched out, and he pitched out south of us. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. not a big deal.
For the record, when he says pitched out, that means he flew from yep. the tree to the ground. A lot of people don't realize turkeys sleep in trees. That surprises some people, but those suckers can actually fly pretty well. You'd be surprised when they get that running start and take off up to those trees. You'll see them go straight up,
balance on little tiny twigs, waving in the breeze.
Yes, they do.
It's crazy.
Yeah, some of them birds are like way up high where it's thin, and I would have thought they would have snapped for sure.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
But the first Tom pitched out south onto the neighbor's field, and I'm like, that's fine. We're still in the game. There's still one more Tom already on the ground that I heard. Well, then I heard bang.
Oh, and no. And you heard bang. Now hold that thought, because I cannot wait to hear how this story continues after that. Bang means someone else shot at one of the birds you were scouting. Oh, this is very exciting. That is why Raised in Wisco is awesome.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. There's a temporary hold now over the Trump administration's attempt to deport Venezuelan migrants using an 18th century wartime law. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
This could be a showdown between the Supreme Court and the Trump administration if now the Trump administration tries to remove the Venezuelans under the Alien Enemies Act.
A third round of talks are set now between the U.S. and Iran over Tehran's nuclear program. The BBC's Joanne Wood.
The two sides are not thought to be meeting face-to-face, but last time there was said to have been a brief meeting between Mr. Araghchi and Mr. Witkoff. Both sides have said they are keen to find a diplomatic solution.
Russian President Putin has announced a temporary Easter ceasefire in its war on Ukraine, but says its troops will be ready if need be for aggressive actions. Ukraine's president calls the proposal an attempt to play with human lives. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers win their third in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-3 win over the A's at AmFam Field. Caleb Durbin, called up from Nashville, made his major league debut with two hits on four at-bats, a run scored, and a big defensive play from his spot at third base. Game two of this series is tonight. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard, back after just 1 month of treatments for a blood clot in his right leg. Lillard says the early warning signs were not easy to detect.
I mean, I was at dinner, and I could, you know, usually if I have a strain, I could feel it when I walk. You know, I know what that felt like because I was familiar with it. But this, I was at dinner and my leg just felt swollen. You know, it was like super tight. So I think that was the toughest part throughout this entire time was, you know, that first couple of days when I first started to feel it, it was obvious that it was there. You know, I didn't know it was a blood clot, but once I found out that's what it was, I knew what it was, you know, why it was so sore and swollen. And that was kind of what led me to go to the team in the first place because I was just like, this ain't normal, you know.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, mostly cloudy, highs in the low 50s. Tonight, a low around 40 under mostly cloudy skies. Some showers on Sunday with a high near 48. Showers and rumbles of thunder Sunday night, a low near 43. Showers and thunderstorms are likely on your Monday, 56.
It's 48 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend news, and Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, will be here to talk about changes coming to the WIAA. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco, I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle has the week off. Allie Mae Lawton is filling in for her. We're in the middle of a very tense, very exciting turkey hunt. Harper is here with us. She's 13. She's got a shotgun in her hand for the first time on her very first wild game turkey hunt of her life. Justin Cumbier is the mentor on this hunt. Justin's wife, Tabitha, is with us in the studio, in the Concord studio at WFSH.
And I'm on the edge of my seat because I need to know what happens after bang.
You get into the woods. This now, folks, I don't care if you're a hunter or not. This is a fascinating story. You're in the woods. You have busted your rear end to know where these turkeys are. You put them to bed. They're roosting. You get in, set up. You don't disturb them. You got your decoy spread out. And they fly out of the roost. Yes, folks, they sleep in trees. They fly out of the roost the wrong direction, but that's okay. They can still see your decoys. You got your calls set. And all of a sudden you hear a bang. That means somebody shot at the birds you scouted. Is there a more gut-wrenching feeling, Justin?
Not really, because at that point, when I heard the bang, I tried to be positive around Harper and just reassure it's early, it'd still be fine. But deep down inside, you know that it kind of affected how your morning was going to happen.
It can blow everything. Oh, yeah. And that is a lesson. That is a lesson about hunting. And that is why you make a point to enjoy everything you do while you're out there, because there is no guarantee. I've been out there and a farmer drove right past me with the tiller. You know, I've been out there and I've had somebody stop on the side of the road and start yelling at you for hunting. I've had that happen before. You cannot control Mother Nature either, and you can't control where someone else is hunting. All right, pick it up from there. I want to know what happened. So that was right off the bat in the morning. So that was your bird.
After he shot, or they shot, the hens pitched out into our field. And so then I'm like, okay, this changes everything.
That's a great sign.
I know there's still Tom on the ground in the woods. He's still gobbling. The hens are in our field.
Oh, boy.
I said that Tom's going to come into our field.
That's
called hitting reset.
Yeah, well, so all of a sudden we're watching, I'm counting the hens, and I'm like, okay, the Tom's going to end up in here, Harper, it's fine. I look up, here comes Tom.
Okay, how much later?
Life is good. But this was probably within 2 minutes after the shot.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
So it was like up-down emotions.
Like a roller coaster. Harper, what are you thinking when you're sitting there and he's got a fairly strong confidence about what's going to happen? What's going through your mind when you heard the gunshot?
I could kind of tell, like, how he was, like, feeling about it. Because, like, if you're, like, hunting for something, you're either going to get it, not get it, or just wait until you find some more something else. Because they could either see you, you could either shoot at it, miss, or just get.
And now, did you see the look on his face change when he heard that gunshot? Tell me the truth.
Yeah, I kind of could.
Did you see any tears? Because I would have been a little teared up at that point.
Tell me this. What's going through your mind? What are you thinking when all of a sudden the hens are now on the ground? And, you know, technically you could harvest a bearded hen if you saw a beard on one of the hens. Did any of the hens have beards that you noticed? No,
not that I noticed.
What's going through your mind, Harper, when you see that Tom break the tree line and start walking into the field? What are you thinking? What are you feeling at that point?
I had, like, excitement because, like, I've never been turkey hunting, so it was, like, just kind of cool to see. And, like, just, like, was, like, calling them, trying to get them over there. And, like, just seeing where they're going to go.
So, Justin, are you running calls at this point? What are you running?
Yeah, I'm just running a slate call.
You got a slate call. So, you're giving – are you yelping?
A little yelping and purrs.
All right.
It didn't matter. He didn't care.
He didn't care. The Tom didn't care.
That wasn't the greatest.
That wasn't a great
example. That's a bad example, but it's okay.
That's okay. I'm a little hoarse.
they were hand up. Big time this weekend. So
how many Toms were left once the one was shot on the other side? How many Toms were left?
There was only one left.
There was one. Now, were there Jakes in the group with the hens?
Nope. Just hens and Tom.
You had one opportunity. All right. Keep talking.
And then he kept he had just sat there in full strut and was gobbling, hanging out with his hens. And I told Harper, I said, you know, it sucks to say this, but he ain't going to come. He's content with his girlfriends. He doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about the strut and decoy. I said, so we might be in for a long morning. Well, then I happened to look down 600 yards out to the west.
And 600 yards, six football fields.
Yeah, it was a ways.
Holy cow.
I see a black blob, and I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, there's a turkey down there, and he's heading towards our direction. And then
on a clip or just kind of meandering?
Just meandering, just on his own. Well, then all of a sudden I heard a gobble out that way, so I look again, I'm like, okay, he's closer. So I put my mouth call in, yelped at him, he gobbled back. I'm like, okay. Well, it took him probably a half hour to, you know, start working, getting closer and closer. Well, there's a ditch before you get to our field, and he kept gobbling on his own. I'd call a little bit and just kind of not pay a whole lot of attention to him. Well, he finally crossed that ditch, and that was probably 150 yards.
Oh,
I looked at Harper,
wow,
and I said, Harper,
wow,
this might work here.
And I'm going to tell you that when they go into the ditch, right? So turkeys can sometimes have very short attention spans. And you know, when he's in that ditch, he can't see the decoy. Mm-hmm. So then I've seen him walk into a ditch and never come out. I've seen it happen.
Because
they
can't find
the way out. They're not the brightest birds. They just have great instinct. That's what I tell everyone. And if they could smell, you'd never kill one. Mm-hmm. Because they can see and hear like nobody's business. So this thing goes in the ditch, and that feeling of just sitting there and you're almost praying for that redhead to just pop up on the other side of the ditch.
He popped up and he instantly gobbled, went in the strut, and I'm like, told her, I said, this is gonna work now, get ready. And he just took his time. Once he got within that 80 yard mark, you could hear him spitting and drumming. I'm just trying to explain to her, you hear that spitting, you know, and he ended up starting angling, and I'm like, all right, Harper, you're gonna get the gun out the window and get ready now.
Okay, stop for a second. Harper, what are you thinking at this point?
Well, I was like excited but nervous at the same time.
Were you nervous? Yeah. Were you shaking? I think I would be surprised if you weren't shaken, because
yeah, no kidding.
To this day, after I've hunted and killed many, many turkeys, I get that same feeling every time. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. So you're sitting there, and this sucker's close now. Pretty big fan on him and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Then so Justin, then finish the story here.
So he started angling. I got her set up with the gun out the window. We were hunting in one of those see-through blinds, which is awesome.
Nice.
I'm starting to just love them.
Because
you can just sit there and you can watch. Well, this bird, apparently we blended in very well, crossed the last ditch that we were sitting right on and popped up, and we could have almost petted this thing as it came walking by.
As it was walking toward the decoys.
And full strut came by, and it blew past the window and ran into my decoy and started pounding on the decoy. Every time that Tom would jump up and flap the decoy and whack it, she would jump.
Oh, yeah.
Get freaked out.
That's so exciting.
So then I had to get her situated out a different window, and it was in full strut, and he just kept spinning around the decoy, and so he wouldn't give you a good shot, give you a good shot. So finally,
and what he's talking about there, folks, if you haven't turkey hunted before, when they're in full strut, their heads are tucked down, and you want to make an ethical kill shot. You want to make sure you hit it well and kill it immediately, and that's also, you know, helps less hormones and everything running through the meat when you give it an instant kill. You know, the animal's lived free its whole life, and if you're going to use it for sustenance, that's what this show is about, and that's what's fantastic about taking meat from the field to the table. So you got this thing turning around the decoy at this point, but it's not really giving you a shot, and you have a brand new hunter. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that's kind of neck stretched out, good, you know, as feasible as of a shot as possible.
Yep. And I kept yelping at him. He didn't care. He just was locked in full strut with not coming out. I tried saying different things and it didn't do it. And I told Harper, I said, if you get on it, pull the trigger.
So meanwhile, is she on a tripod? Is she on
resting the gun right on the blind
window. She's resting the gun on the, did you feel pretty stable at that point, Harper?
I did. It's just like, because I was kind of just like sitting there just shaking, because I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that gun, even when you're balancing that gun gets heavy after a little while, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, did you have a red dot scope on it, or were you just aiming with the beads?
Just a bead.
Just the beads.
20 gauge? 12 gauge.
12 gauge.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Do you,
do you have a bruise on your shoulder?
No.
Wow.
She's
That's
tough,
pretty impressive.
Joel.
Yeah, she's tough, no doubt about it. Tougher than me. I'd have a bruise.
Yeah, and a Band-Aid.
That's, yes. Oh, that one time I shot a turkey, I had the bridge of the gun next to my nose hit me in the face. Two black eyes for 3 weeks. But that didn't happen to you because I'm looking at you and you don't have any black eyes. So finally, you say to her, pull the trigger when you're ready.
Yep.
And what happens, Harper?
Just sitting there, just like trying to get a good aim on him, but he just like kept like spinning and like I couldn't really get a good like aim at him. And then I finally just like when he kind of was just like his facing us a little more longer, I just pulled it, the trigger. Wow.
What happened?
It wasn't a picture perfect moment. It was more than one shot, but
that's okay.
That's okay.
And the moral of that is you waited until that turkey was in perfect range. Mm-hmm. And so you were able to take that follow-up shot safely, closely, and definitely ethically, and make sure that that bird was dead. And she then had her first turkey. I mean, isn't it incredible, the adrenaline rush and the feeling of being able to do that, Harper? What did that feel like?
It was exciting to see him just like run and like just shoot at him. And it's just like, and it was exciting just to like get like my first like bird or like shoot at anything really.
Yeah, your first harvest overall.
Yeah.
So do you think now that you've harvested your first bird, are people in your family going to start turkey hunting? Are they a little jealous?
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin.
They did.
What? Really?
I ended up taking her brother out
after
on Sunday,
she harvested hers
on Sunday, and Sunday night we got
Brother was a little jealous.
That is awesome.
Wow.
That is absolutely awesome. Both, I mean, you see the turkeys in this room, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those are harvested by my daughters. So they that one's not, but that one was my oldest daughter's first turkey. So they've all been out there and doing it. And what's the feeling that you get, Justin, is just incredible, isn't it?
Oh,
taking somebody and helping them have that first experience is just incredible.
Nothing beats it.
And I want to talk for a minute. You said you have been helping with the Mentored Hunt program out of Tom's Guns in Marshall, Wisconsin. Tom Burkholz, who has since passed very recently, means the world to me personally. As an influence in my life, I was a legislator knocking on doors and trying to get my votes when I first met Tom Burkholz. And Tom Burkholz at 38 years old, I was 38 years old. Tom Burkholz took me on my first ever hunt. And I'll have you know, he took the former lieutenant governor, my wife, on her first ever successful turkey hunt. So the first time I ever hunted was shoulder to shoulder with Tom Burkholz. He did plant our heads at the base of a giant manure pile in a field when we goose hunted. But Tom and Julie have put their hearts and souls into making sure people understand what it's like to get into Wisconsin's outdoors and to be part of the hunting community. I will forever be grateful to Tom Burkholz, whose legacy will live on in those who continue doing things like you. I can't tell you how important it is that you recognize now that there is a void, and there is a void with Tom Burkholz being gone. Tom had that quirky smile on his face and sarcastic wit with everybody. And the thing he loved the most in life was showing people how to get the most out of Wisconsin's outdoors. He dedicated his life to it. He made sure that everyone he took had a real chance at a harvest. And beyond that, he appreciated the beauty of the sunrise in the morning and that first gobble in the trees. And the legacy that Tom has with his children and his son-in-law really is a testament to the state of Wisconsin. So I want to personally thank you for continuing Tom Burkholz's legacy and taking people like Harper out there. This is what Raised in Wisco is about. It's about helping folks understand that they have access to the outdoors in Wisconsin, and the sky is the limit. I'm so excited about that. And I'm really excited because Chef Ellie Mae Lawton is going to be talking about some recipes for wild turkey, which can be tricky, but it's absolutely delicious if done right. This is Raised in Wisco.
a voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a two-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What an awesome story. Justin Cumbier has dedicated 10 years of his life to making sure folks get into the outdoors, taking mentored hunters out. And he first experienced it with Tom Burkholz at Tom's Guns. This is Raised in Wisco. This is one of the exciting things about the show. I'm Joel Clayfish. Ellie Mae Lawton is filling in for Danielle this week. Of course, she's going to have an amazing recipe. Justin Cumbier is here. Harper's here. And Tabitha Cumbier is here as well. What a fantastic testament this is to how great Wisconsin's outdoors are. And if you want to find a way to get into the outdoors, there are people there to help you do it. And Tom's Guns mentored hunt every year is a legacy to Tom, and it will continue to be, I'm sure of that.
Yeah. Before we get into food, Harper, I want to ask you, what did you do with your turkey after you harvested it?
Right now, I just like, well, we cut like the meat out of it and everything, but I might put like a fan on it.
Oh, awesome. That's fantastic. Justin, I want to talk to you about how you got into mentoring just real quick. And then also how you prepare your mentees. Do you do firearm safety? Do you teach them about the calls? Kind of walk us through how that looks.
I got involved in the mentorship. Like I said, it was about 10 years ago. My wife and my father-in-law actually knew Tom and Julie before I was in the picture. And I ended up meeting Tom and Julie as FFL doing banquets. Mm-hmm. And they were still our FFL dealer for all our banquets and everything. So I heard about it and I enjoy turkey hunting and I love trying to teach people about turkey hunting. So I signed up and I was been doing it ever since.
And how do you find your mentees? Just word of mouth?
A lot of it's word of mouth. Since this year, we started up one with Marshall Lions Club. He knew that Marshall Lions, Kevin Moreland, knew a lot of people. I knew a lot of people, family, friends that all jumped up right away. And then it was just you publish a PR on Facebook. I mean, it's huge.
It's fantastic.
And then people started coming out of the woodworks that, you know, did it through Tom and they wanted to see it keep going. So, I mean, we ended up having 40 mentors, 38 hunters.
Oh, wow. That's so
we
fantastic.
25 birds opening.
That's fantastic. Sunday.
Wow.
What a fantastic testament to life well
wow.
lived.
That is crazy. And then what do you do to prepare your mentees for the hunt?
We do on Wednesday night before the Saturday of the hunt, we have a shooting. You come out and you shoot. We pattern your
guns. That's awesome.
Make sure everybody's comfortable. Our club went out, we went and purchased guns to make sure, you know, not everybody has guns or has access. So we have 410s, 20, 12, red dots all available. And then we have a class with the game warden, a little PowerPoint just to talk about turkey hunting, you know, what to look for, scouting, a jake, a tomahawk, stuff like that.
Wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
From start to finish, really. That's awesome.
I love it.
And then my last question before, I promise we're going to get to the food.
We better.
you've been hunting turkeys for a long time. So what is your favorite way to prepare your turkey?
Well, my dad was around our first one that I shot. We did turkey nuggets, but I'm hooked on turkey brats.
Oh,
turkey brats.
So do you make them yourself, or do you have them made?
We always took them to Brad's Deer Process.
Brad's is my favorite. Another connection. I love Brad's.
Wow. But you really are Joel Jr.
Why are you saying Brad's Jr.? I mean, we're probably about the same age.
I think you should just relax over there.
There's nothing better than a turkey brat with pepper jack cheese in it.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Well, now I have another reason to go to Brad's, because I've got his venison brats, his venison cheese brats in my freezer as we speak.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of great stuff to put in the freezer, what are we going to talk about for our recipe this week, Chef Law?
We're talking about turkey.
Let's do it.
Okay, so turkey breast, pickle juice brine. That's what we're going to start with. Yeah. So pickle juice brine, a traditional brine, mine is a gallon of water to a cup of salt. I swap out, I'm blessed that my mother makes fantastic homemade pickles. So I use the brine from her pickles and swap out the water, let it sit for 24 hours. You can over brine a turkey. That just means it's going to be too salty if you leave it in too long. So you want to do really an hour brine per pound of meat you have. So you could do a few of them. And then after you brine it, pull it out, and then I roast it in the oven covered. I use some broth. And then after that, I shred this one. And ooh. I made a grilled cheese with the shredded pickle brine turkey with Swiss cheese and some cherry chutney.
Justin, by the way, is motioning to his wife to write this down. Probably because Justin doesn't know how to read or write, and he needs his wife to do it for him.
He really is Joel Jr. So that's my pickle juice brine turkey grilled cheese. But you can take the meat. I mean, you're shredding the meat when it comes out of the oven, and you can put it on anything. But that is just so good.
That sounds phenomenal.
Yeah. Does it really taste like pickles?
You get the hint of it, but I like to put pickles on the sandwich as well.
Yeah, I like pickles on just about every sandwich. So.
Yeah.
You know, I want to talk. Turkey is one of those wild game meats that's tough for some people because it is such a lean protein. There's really no fat.
Yeah, you really want to brine, especially. Yes, you want to brine it for sure.
And so often when people cook turkey, they'll take it, they take the breast out of it, and, you know, turkey breast, I will say this. Nobody can say wild turkey tastes gamey.
No.
The taste of wild turkey, the taste alone is exactly like a turkey breast you buy from the store. Exactly. Now, the meat is a little more fibrous, right? So you've got to kind of break that down in some way. And what I tell people is, remember, if you cut something into very, very small chunks, it's a lot less chewy. So you said you started out with turkey nuggets. And I also think that that's a great place to start. Turkey is to just chop it into little teeny tiny nuggets. The other thing I like to do, I will beat the snot out of it with a tenderizer and then cut it into little pieces. Then I will soak it in olive oil.
Oh,
and that puts some of the fat will go, you know, the fat of the olive oil. The olive oil will absorb into the meat. All right.
Also, roasting the drumsticks in beef broth for about 6 to 8 hours will be the most delicious meat ever.
Ooh, make sure you pick out all those bones in there, but that does sound fantastic. Before we wrap up the show, Jacob, I got to know, we got a chance of pulling you out into the field?
Definitely. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it sounds so glamorous. I think I'm going to get into it.
Well, glamorous it may not be, but the opportunity to take someone who's never done it and have them be part of the show and come back and talk about it really trips my trigger. So I'm very excited about that. Jacob, great to have you on the show. The Cumbiers who came. Justin, thanks for all you do. Tabitha, thank you for putting up with Justin and all he does for all the
mentors. And his hours away from you.
Yes. And Harper, the biggest congratulations to you. Thanks for coming along. You have a very bright future ahead of you. That I can tell. Folks, we love it that you come along and listen to us. We're honored to have you as guests. Enjoy the great outdoors. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Ellie Long.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Laura Bird is back. The author and tireless bookstore promoter helps mark Independent Bookstore Day with ways you can support a local business.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Step into Comet Smoke. Comet Smoke has it all. CBD, vapes, Delta 9, premium cigars, accessories, and wellness products for sleep and stress relief. This 420, Comet Smoke is celebrating you with 20% off store-wide. All this week through April 20th. Stock up on your favorites. Open weekdays from 10 till 7, Saturdays 10 till 5, Sundays noon till 5. Comet Smoke, 9549 South Chicago Road in Oak Creek. Additional questions, call 414-865-0980. Comet Smoke wishes you a happy 420.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Allison Keyes. That court battle over the Trump administration's attempts to use an 18th century wartime law to deport migrants just escalated overnight.
The Supreme Court has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from removing another group of Venezuelan migrants from the United States under the Alien Enemies Act. The unsigned order came in the early morning hours on Saturday, with dissents from Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Samuel Alito. Katrina Kaufman, CBS News, New York.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is firing back over Russia's proposal for an Easter ceasefire, calling it an attempt to play with human lives. But the BBC's Joe Inwood reports.
This could well be seen as the Russians attempting to say, no, we're not the ones who are not open to negotiations. Look, we're having a unilateral ceasefire. Whether that will be taken seriously, whether it will be believed, is a very different question.